I'm Dave DeWitt. This is Tested from WUNC, a daily look at how North Carolina is dealing with COVID-19 and what we're learning about ourselves in the face of a global crisis. Today, the week ahead. The numbers for today are in, and they're both grim and a little hopeful. Governor Roy Cooper says the number of deaths in North Carolina has grown to 86, but the number of people hospitalized has dropped by about 15% since Saturday.
To characterize those figures in another way, we continue to see the spread of the virus accelerate through North Carolina, but at a much slower pace because people are following the executive orders on social distancing. What we are doing is working. We're saving lives.
Concerns are growing over COVID-19 outbreaks in nursing homes across the state, as facilities in Franklin, Chatham, and Orange counties report dramatic rises in cases. At the same time, Cooper is looking ahead.
We have a team examining how North Carolina can emerge with the right practices in place to keep us healthy and strong and ready to jumpstart our economy.
But before that jumpstart can happen, businesses must contend with furloughs, layoffs, and the new social distancing rules that went into effect today. Pat Provost had instituted those rules already and is looking to do even more. He owns a Jersey Mike's franchise in Swansboro.
During the peak of business, we're usually trying to put somebody at the door, kind of like a bouncer, a bit of a concierge, if you will, and trying to figure out what the customer's needs are. It's a big part of how we're changing to give our customers the best possible service. A lot of the other things that are impacting us are our Cisco deliveries, whether or not we can maintain a 2 times a week delivery schedule, or whether or not we're being reduced to a single time a week delivery.
Every business in North Carolina is affected by the coronavirus, but those in the Outer Banks have a special set of challenges. About a month ago, the Dare County Control Group strictly limited access to full-time residents only. So let's start there with WUNC's Jay Price. He spoke to Irvin Bateman. He's a Dare County commissioner and owns Sugar Creek Seafood Restaurant in Nags Head.
So it's not like we're completely devastated down here. You know, it's a beautiful day here today. I just got back from a 16-mile bike ride. It's like life is just as it was 3 months ago, except we have no business down here. There's no work for the employees and so forth. So we're just telling them just as soon as I can open up, I'm going to. You know, we have, as a small business, we've applied for all the SBA loans we can possibly apply for. We've done the unemployment filing for each individual person, encourage them to go through the system and take whatever they can take advantage of to help provide for their families. So we're doing everything we can as a small business, but there's only so much you can do. That uncertainty is always out there. My guess and my hope for us would be the fact that maybe, you know, the end of this month, by the 15th of May, maybe we can open up in some fashion and salvage some kind of season. The bad part for us is, you know, we're a seasonal business, and like the other 300 plus restaurants here on the Outer Banks, and we're all in this together. That's the other thing. It's not just, you know, Irvin at Sugar Creek. It's everybody's in this together, and everybody's in the same situation. But we do 75% of all the business I do is done in those summertime months. Now I'm going to lose probably May. I've already lost April. So I got June, July, and August that I've got all the business I should be doing. If I don't do that, what am I going to do?
When things reopen, it seems like it's going to have to be in some sort of complicated phases. It's hard to imagine that when there's a kind of blueprint for reopening emerging, you know, between all the decisions from federal and state and local leaders that have to happen, it's hard to imagine it's just going to be like flicking a switch and suddenly you can open up exactly like before.
We have to let it be presented to us. And then it's our job as business people to think out of the box completely differently, improvise when we can. You know, it might be with more outdoor seating is more, which would benefit me because I have, I've got 40 seats out on the water on a deck that's completely in open air. That would benefit me. I've got two gazebos I've got one gazebo that sits 45 people for private weddings and so forth. That would be, and it's open air. That would be something that would benefit me, but it's not going to benefit someone in a strip mall that's got 15 seats and they're in a closed area with no windows that they can open up. It wouldn't benefit them. So, I mean, how do you address all these issues and so forth? I think the big thing is, you know, I'm a county commissioner, but the control group did what they had to do. You know, they made a tough, tough decision, but they did. It was the right decision. You know, their job is for the health and welfare of the people of the Outer Banks. You know, I'm glad I'm not on that group because that was a tough decision they had to make. But I stand behind them 100%. And whatever happens to us, we're going to have to improvise and we're going to have to change around. And I'm not saying that I'm going to be one of them, but some of us will not be here. And that's the sad part about it, because you can only have adversity happen so many times in the business world where all of a sudden it's not advantageous to continue to go on.
Adversity is almost something you guys seem like you're used to. I mean, you get hit by hurricanes routinely, especially lately. You know, does this feel like more of the same or is this different?
Yeah, I've been flooded 3 times in the last 3 years. Dorian, Michael, and Matthew. And every one of them took my whole downstairs out, everything completely, all walk-in boxes, freezers, all my inventory, everything. And, you know, yeah, you got flood insurance, but, you know, you never regroup all your losses on that. It never happens. And so, you know, they have that that hits you, and then you have something like this hits you again. It makes it really, really tough. But like I said, you know, we're resilient. So I do have folks that are going to come back to me. And I spent all last week, really the last 10 days going, and because I house a lot of my employees also rent houses from me and so forth. And so those folks, I've done what I needed to do to make sure that I've put things in place to help my business, to help me personally. And also to hopefully that we can go forward and get through this stuff, you know. It's tough, though. I mean, you know, when you're on the phone for 2 hours and 40-some minutes and all of a sudden you get cut off, it makes you mad. It makes you really mad. And it's not nobody's fault. It's just the system is overloaded. The unemployment system's overloaded. These SBA systems, folks, are overloaded. The whole system is out there.
Irvin Bateman is a Dare County commissioner and owner of Sugar Creek Seafood Restaurant in Nag's Head. He spoke with WUNC's Jay Price. Hang tight, more in a moment.
Tested is a production of WUNC North Carolina Public Radio. And this is a good time to say thank you to everyone who supports WUNC. Whether you're an individual donor or a business, we cannot say thank you enough for providing us with the resources and opportunity to serve the state of North Carolina with up-to-the-minute news and information. Everyone at WUNC is working around the clock to do just that at this unique and perilous moment in our history, and we couldn't manage without your help. So thank you. And if you're able, please go to WUNC.org if you want to donate for the first time or perhaps increase your support.
The student newspaper at Riverside High School in Durham is called The Pirate's Hook. And like so many high school extracurricular activities, it's been dramatically altered by the coronavirus. But The Pirate's Hook was way ahead of its time in at least one way. Brian Christopher is the English teacher and the faculty advisor for the paper. He says about a week before school facilities were closed, he asked his student editors how they would publish the monthly paper if they weren't meeting in school every day.
I asked them what it would mean to provide feedback to the rest of the staff on the drafts that they had submitted. How do we get those drafts finished by deadline? I asked them what our section meetings would look like if we couldn't sit around a table. When the announcement came that we would cancel school for the foreseeable future, the kids decided that they thought we could meet our original deadline.
My name is Sheree Harris, and I'm a senior at Riverside High School.
My name is Caitlin Bush, and I'm a junior at Riverside High School.
Hi, my name is Ty Gordon. I'm a senior at Riverside High School, and I'm the co-editor of the Pirate's Hook newspaper. So the way we did it was a small group of us communicated through email and video conferences.
Maybe like FaceTiming them whenever you possibly get the chance, you know.
I'd say we sort of felt like a sense of duty to inform people in our community on what's going on locally.
We put so much effort into this, and we'd hate to see it just go down the drain.
I think we also kind of perceived that we had a new job, which was like to take this obstacle that was also a news event and incorporate it into our paper and kind of finish the paper despite.
That and it's kind of our obligation, our duty to, you know, still provide people with the information that they need or, you know, would like to see.
Sort of a way to give people around us like a sense of community, knowing that some parts of life in Durham are still going on as usual.
Time doesn't stop, you know.
We cover a wide variety of topics, and we're actually the only bilingual school publication in North Carolina. We include Spanish translations in all of our issues.
Publishing in two languages creates twice as many deadlines, takes up twice as much space in our pages, but our paper wouldn't be the same without it.
Why wouldn't we want more people to be able to read our paper? Given the population of our school and given the expertise that we have in our classroom, I think it's just a wise use of resources.
I feel like we were able to like rise to the occasion because, you know, we were all pretty dedicated to, like, you know, still getting this thing out, you know, putting our best foot forward.
They did the best they could with the content that we had, and I was beyond impressed that they pulled it off on our regularly scheduled deadline.
I think that the April issue being done, I hope it's a bright spot.
Despite all the bad things that's been, you know, going on as of recently, we can still put that together, you know.
I think it shows that students can continue to be productive and continue to learn despite something that's really impacting everyone.
Those were Riverside High School students Caitlin Bush, Jerique Harris, and Ty Gordon, and their teacher, Brian Christopher. This month's issue of The Pirate's Hook is available online. You can find it at thepirateshook.com. That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Dave DeWitt. Will Michaels is our producer. Lindsay Foster Thomas is the executive producer. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.